Good evening, everyone. Praise God. Before I go into the message, I'd like to go before the Lord with a prayer. My Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you and praise you that you have given us yet another Lord's Day, Lord, to give you the praise and glory, to serve you, to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the reason that we have this day, that Jesus Christ is the reason that we have life, because he's the creator of all things. And I pray here tonight, Lord God, that those who have not received Christ, that you would convict their hearts and bring them to the throne of grace with a broken and contrite heart, that they may receive Christ before time run out. Use this message for thy glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This evening we're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians 7:14. Now the Bible speaks about the two types of sorrow. It's a godly sorrow and a worldly sorrow. And the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter and the 10th verse, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but worldly sorrow worketh death." Now in the Bible, there is two good examples of godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. We read in the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter, starting at the first verse, reading down to verse 5. We know that's talking about Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot sold Jesus Christ out for 30 pieces of silver. And as we read in God's holy word, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had brought him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, went, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed an innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the 30 pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hung himself." Now here is Judas with worldly sorrow. Now he was sorry that he sold Jesus Christ out for 30 pieces of silver. But did Judas go to Jesus to repent? No, he went back to man. See, the Pharisees, they didn't want to have anything to do with that, because all they wanted to do is just get Jesus off out of the scene, get Jesus out of the way. And so when that happened, they had accomplished what they set out to accomplish. But now here is Judas. He was very sorry that he sold Jesus out. He was probably convicted. Instead of going to God, he went to suicide. He went back to man, trying to get even with man instead of going back to God and asking God to forgive him. Now in the book of Psalms, the 51st chapter, starting at the first verse, we read about David. David had a godly sorrow. David repented toward God. In the book of Psalms 51, we start reading at verse 1. As we read in God's holy word, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from any sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, thou might be justified when thou speakest and be cleansed me from thy justice. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desired truth in thy inward parts, and in thy hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Be clean heart, O God, renew a new spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Now here is David. Now David, you know, went out and committed adultery. He had another man's wife. He had Uriah's wife. Not only did he have Uriah's wife, he set Uriah up to be killed. Now he did all of this before God. Now, David saw that he did something wrong, but David did not go out and commit suicide. He was sorry that he did it, and he went to the person that he did it against. See, when you commit sin, sin is against God. Now, the person that you commit sin against is the victim of your sin against God. So David knew he had committed sin against God because God said that thou shalt not commit adultery and thou shalt not kill. So David repented by confessing that sin before God. Now, he said the sin was ever before him. David had King Solomon out of that relationship. And you know, David had all kind of problems in his family. Incest, murder in his family. So you can't sin without the consequences of sin. David found that out the hard way. Now, the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. How can that be? A man that would go out and commit adultery, a man that would go out and murder. But you know, David had a repenting heart. And that's what God loved about David's heart. He acknowledged that he was wrong. And he acknowledged that he committed sin against God. And he didn't just walk away and kill himself. He walked away and died to that flesh and allowed the Spirit of God to take over. Now, the Bible in the book of Ezekiel 33 and verse 13 speaks about repenting toward God, having a godly sorrow, repenting toward God. When I shall say to the righteous that thou shalt truly die, if he turn from his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all the righteousness remembered, all the righteousness shall not be remembered, but for the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the thou shalt truly die, if he turn from his sins and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the plagues, give again that which has robbed, walk in the statutes of God without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. See, that's what David did. David turned from that iniquity. David turned from that sin. And David wanted to walk upright before God, even though he could see his sin ever before him. But you see, sometime when you sin, you would always have it there, but you're not a part of it anymore. David had King Solomon. He just can't erase King Solomon, but King Solomon came out of that relationship that he had with another man's wife. But in David's heart, he knew that he was right with God. David knew that when he died, he would go to be with God in heaven. Now, God wants us to have that godly sorrow, acknowledging that, yes, we have sinned against him. Yes, that we can come to Jesus. Jesus said in the book of John 6:37, all that the Father give to me will come to me, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. Judas could have came to Jesus, but I guess Judas was so puffed up in pride that he didn't want to do that. Just like people are today, they know that their lifestyle is not pleasing to God. Instead of coming to God, they would go out there and take their life in suicide. Now, the Bible, in the book of 1 John, the 5th chapter, and the 16th verse, speaks about the sin, the unpardonable sin, the sin unto death. Now, there's a sin unto death that God does not want us to get involved in. And I believe that's one of the sins is suicide, which Judas Iscariot committed when he hung himself. Now, the Bible said, if a man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall be given of the sin that is not leading unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it, for all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now, I believe that this sin unto death is committing suicide. So you can go out there and take your life. You can't repent of that. Now, the Bible says we have to repent while we're living on this earth. And if you take your life, you can't do that. You can't have that godly sorrow that would bring you to repentance if you commit suicide. So God wants each and every one of us to acknowledge that, yes, if we have not received Christ, we are committing sin against him. But this sin can be forgiven of if we repent and receive Christ in that place of our sins, be cleansed by his blood. But now David did that. Judas did not do that. You know, not too many people named their boy Judas. I wonder why. You know, it's a lot of names. We have a lot of Spanish people, they name their kids Jesus, which is Jesus. But nobody that I've ever met as of yet called their son Judas. See, that's a name that you wouldn't want to give your son, because that's the name of a person that would betray you, a betrayer. And that's what he did to Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ elected Judas because scriptures had to be fulfilled. And he knew that there would be one that would eat with him, that would rise up against him and betray him, because God had to fulfill the scriptures, and all things must come to pass first before the end come. And Jesus allowed this to happen, knowing that he would have to go to the cross to die for our sins. But now God wants each and every one of us to acknowledge him, not going back to man. Sometimes if you do something wrong to a person, you're trying to go back to them to make up for it. They don't want to hear it. And a lot of time people put God in the same category. Well, my friend does not want to forgive me, so they think God will not forgive them. But see, they have to take time out and read the Word of God and see that God will forgive you if you're willing to repent. To repent means to turn away from it. You know, people want God to bless them in their sins. They want God to bless them in alcohol. They want God to bless them in sexual immorality. God will not do it. You have to come out of those sins and come into Christ, and in Christ you would receive all of your blessings. Ephesians 1:3. And David got blessed because he became a king. But David kept seeing all of his sins as hanging on, because David had a son, like I said, Solomon, out of that relationship. And he had incest in his family. And because of all of that, it's also God himself divided the kingdom. So we know that God loves us, but when we go against God's way of righteousness, he must bring a judgment because of that. Now, it's not in God's will that any man should perish. He wants each and every one of us to receive the blessing that he has established through Jesus Christ. But since God is a just God, he will not go against himself to bless you. So in order for you to be blessed, you have to be obedient to the Word of God. And God wants each and every one of us to have that godly sorrow, looking unto Christ, not looking unto the world's way. You know, it's just like a person goes out and he get caught stealing. He'll tell the police officer, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it." But that's after he got caught. See, godly, you would turn yourself in. You would have to get arrested before you say that you're sorry. And this is what God wants us to do. To admit, yes, I need salvation. I need Christ. I can't live like this. I can't do what you want me to do apart from Christ. That's godly sorrow. Forgetting about what people may think about you. A lot of time people want to make a decision based on their friends. But you will never get right with God if you go out there and base a decision on salvation because of your friends. Because your friends want you to hang out with them. Whatever they do, they want you to do. So you will never get right with God if you think that your friend may look down on you if you accept Christ, you start talking about Christ. I felt that way once when I first got saved. So when I got around my friends, I didn't say anything about Christ. And you know what? I noticed myself getting involved with their sins, which I didn't like. But you have to make a stand for Christ. When you come to Christ, you have to realize one thing. You have to lift his name up. Let him look at you funny. Let him look at you strange. That's all right. Man has no hell to put you in, but God does. See, God wants each and every one of us to stand strong in Christ, to walk in Christ, and speak his word, which is not acceptable today in our society. You notice people tolerate anything. They're very tolerant when it comes to sin, but not when it comes to righteousness. They want you to accept homosexuality. They want you to accept the gambling and the alcohol and the drugs and the filthy language. But when you want them to accept your Jesus, that's when they're not tolerant. They said separation of church and state. But see, God wants us who profess Jesus to be that light that people can see to say that, well, you're different. There's something about you that I like. And you can tell them why you're in the condition that you're in. Why that you're different is because of Christ. It's because you know someone that has changed your heart. That's godly sorrow. Having a change of heart, having a change of mind, having a change of life. See, worldly sorrow have you changing outward man. You know, people that go out there to get involved in religion, they change their garments, they change their name, maybe they even change their furniture to go along with some type of religion. But see, that's godly sorrow. You're trying to change the outer man, but the inner man is still rebelling against God. But see, God wants to change the heart. He wants that heart to have that spiritual relationship with him through Jesus Christ. So when that happens, you will become a part of his kingdom. And he wants you to have that. But it's a heavy cost. The price was very high. It was the price of his only begotten son that gave you that privilege to become a child of God. So we have to acknowledge that. That when we come to Christ, we have to give up the things of this world. We have to put the world behind us and the cross before us if we really want to serve God. And you cannot do that unless you have that godly sorrow. You know, There are many people, they go out and get married. They married the wrong person. They say, well, I'm sorry I married the person. They walk around with their head down all the time. But see, that's worldly sorrow. Many times, I was talking to a friend of mine some years back. He wanted to get a divorce and marry another woman. And I said, you shouldn't do that. It's not right. But he didn't listen to me. He went out and did it. And the last time I met my friend, he was very sorrowful that he did that. But see, that's after the fact. Now he's got another wife that he's not really pleased with. But that's after the fact. See, worldly sorrow. You go out there, you do something wrong, you got to live with it. Godly sorrow, you're going to repent of it, and you're going to start doing it God's way. And that's what God wants us to do. Do it His way through Jesus Christ. So don't let the world deceive you, thinking that you can live any way you want to, and in the end, it's going to work out. It's not working out, people. It's not working out. There are many people, when they're young, they went out there and made a lot of decisions that they wish they have never made now. But you can change all of that by acknowledging that you are a sinner that's in the need of the salvation of Jesus Christ. That's godly sorrow. Coming to Christ, brokenhearted, and saying, Jesus, I have sinned against you and you only, like David did. Sure, David sinned against another man by taking his wife. But that sin was against God because God is the one that said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But see, David acknowledged that. And God accepted David's repentance. And because of that, David was elevated to become king. And see, God want to elevate you out of the condition that you're in. He want to put you on a high level, a level of righteousness, that you can serve Him and live for Him and not walk around shame and guilty all the time. A lot of people are guilty. I look at people when I preach on 42nd Street. When I get ready to talk to them about Christ, they got to look down and walk away. Because they know that their lifestyle does not equal up to the Word of God. But you can change all of that through Christ. Don't be like Judas. Don't walk around sorrowful and just end up committing suicide thinking there's no Christ is your way out. Jesus said in the book of John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me. See, the world will never tell you about Christ. They'll tell you about a God, a higher power, but they don't want to tell you about Christ. You want to know about Christ? Get into the Word of God. Read the Word of God. You know about Christ because this book is about Christ. In the book of Hebrews 10:7, Jesus said, and lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. You read about people like Abraham, David, Isaiah. The prophets is a type of Christ. Moses is a type of Christ. So we see a lot of types of Christ in the Bible. You can't miss Christ in the Bible. The only way you can miss Christ in the Bible is because you have a mindset on this world system and you can't see it. But Christ is in every scripture in the Bible. You speak about the Lamb. That's a type of Jesus Christ. Shedding the blood of the Lamb, that's a type of Jesus Christ. Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ. So the Bible is full of types of Jesus Christ, letting you know the reason why we have the Bible is the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're brokenhearted over your sins, don't go out and get drunk. I was talking to a young man back in the early 90s. He just lost his job. Had a nice suit on. Had his tie by the middle of his body. He's walking around drunk. I don't know what to do with my life now. I said, give it over to Christ. I just lost my job. I may lose my apartment. I may lose my everything. He turned to the alcohol instead of turning to Christ. Had his hand over his head and just crying. And just didn't know what to do with his life. Thinking about committing suicide because he didn't want to live. He said, I don't want to go down to nothing, man, you know. I mean, I once had it, man. You know, he's talking all this crazy stuff. But that's how people are. See, once they're up here, they're all right. But when they fall and get involved in a lifestyle, then they're not all right. Now, he lost his job. I don't know how much money he was making, but he looked like he was doing pretty good. But did he turn to Christ? No. He turned to alcohol. And he's thinking about turning to suicide. Just like Judas Iscariot. He didn't turn to Christ. He went back to trying to make it up with man. You got to make it up with God. You got to go to God first, friend. See, when you go to God first, then the Bible said that God would send out these spirits that would change people's heart toward you. In the book of Proverbs 16:7, the Bible says, when a man ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So you got to make it up with God first and start living a life that is pleasing in the eyes of God, and God will show favor toward you among mankind. David was respected when he became king, even though he did a hideous sin against God, taking another man's wife and setting the husband up to get killed. That's evil. But you know what? When you think about David, you think about the Psalms. Not too many people think about what David did when you talk about King David. You think about what he wrote in the Psalms. You ever notice that? You think about Thomas. You think about doubting Thomas. But when you think about David, you think about all the beautiful Psalms that he wrote. Why? Because God changed his heart. And he was not looking out for number one. He was not looking out for number one. He was just being a vessel now that God could use to write some beautiful literature for us to read, the Psalms. So you can be like a King David today. You can open up your heart and you can give your life over to Christ. The godly sorrow that will lead you to repentance, not the worldly sorrow that will lead you to death and damnation. And many people are traveling on the worldly sorrow. They're sorry that they got involved in drugs. They're sorry that they got involved in alcohol. They're sorry that they got involved with the wrong mate. That's worldly sorrow. You're sorry after the fact. Godly sorrow, it will bring you to repentance. You're sorry before God that you have lived the way you live. You're sorry before God that you have committed sin against him. And not only that, you're willing to change. David was willing to change. He was willing to be the type of person that God wanted him to be. Judas Iscariot was not willing to change. That's why he committed suicide. He didn't want to change. He could have went back to Christ, said, Jesus, I sinned against you. He could have knelt down and said, Lord Jesus, forgive me. The thief on the cross before he died, he acknowledged Jesus Christ as being Savior. And he was saved before he died. And many people say, I'm going to be like the thief on the cross. I just wait right around and I make a deathbed confession. But friend, procrastination has sent many people to hell. Don't procrastinate with your life. Turn it over to Christ while you still have a time. Because one day, friend, you may not have the time to repent. See, we don't know when Christ will come back, but we do know, based on the signs of the time, we're very close to the second coming of Christ. He could come at any day now. Look at our society. We're living in America, the land of the home of the free. But you see, they're using their freedom to commit sin. The television is filthy, the records are filthy, the videos are filthy, and the language is filthy. So we're living in a society that's misusing their freedom to practice sin. These are the signs that are letting us know that Christ is soon to be coming. So have that godly sorrow, repenting toward God, acknowledging that you are a sinner that's in need of the salvation of Jesus Christ. Be like David. Those who are not saved, we have an altar. You can come up. You can kneel down. And you can look up to Christ for the salvation of your soul. Or you can be like Judas. Say, I'll be all right. I'm just going to go out and do it my way. And if it don't work out, that's all right. I can always say I did it my way and I can just live with that. But friend, sin will send you to hell every time. And you know, most people, the reason that they don't believe in God is because they don't believe in a hell, a burning hell. They don't believe in punishment. If you don't believe in the Word of God, you try to rule the Word of God out of your life, then you're going to live like the devil because you don't believe that you're going to get punished for what you're doing before God because you don't believe that there is a God. But see, God wants to acknowledge he is a God, he's a righteous God and a just God. And those who have not received Christ, yes, they will be punished for their disobedience. But when you receive Christ, Christ would punish on your behalf for your disobedience. That's the difference. Even though you committed the crime, but Jesus Christ took the penalty, the judgment, the punishment in your behalf. So be like David. Get up, come up here, and acknowledge that you have sinned against God through the lying, through the drinking, through the drugs and the fornication. And God will clean you up. You can't do it yourself. The best that man could do is to just walk around with religious garments on and talking all type of religious creeds. That's about all. But he can't clean his heart up. He can't get right with God. He can't have the new nature unless he comes to Christ. So we have an altar. And God wants each and every one of us to be cleansed of our sins before we pass on to eternity. Because he will not accept anyone that's defiled in this kingdom. He said so. So you can be clean. You can be righteous before God. Tonight we're going to be singing from hymn number 313. I'd rather have Jesus. Hymn number 313. As I said before, you can repent toward God by making an announcement, by coming up and kneeling down and receiving Christ. Yes. I'd rather have Jesus. Hymn number 313. 313.
Thank you.
Praise God. I'm going to go play the drums. Okay.
The choice to either be a David or to be a Judas. And for some say, well, how could Judas been forgiven even if he had gone to Christ? But the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
And there are some people who say, I've done it all. But even if you have done it all, if you look to the cross, if you truly have a broken and contrite heart, the Lord is willing to forgive if you're willing to repent. Some have said, well, I was finally able to forgive myself. But it's not about you forgiving yourself. It's about you receiving forgiveness from God through faith in Jesus Christ. And you think of it, that God is willing to forgive you because you may have had a friend or a relative that you offended. All of us have a story to tell. And then you realize you were wrong. And you go to the offended party and you say, look, I really am sorry what I did to you. Please forgive me. And the friend said, I could never forgive you. That's even true with parents and children, sisters and brothers. You apologize, humble yourself. I could never forgive you. Don't call anymore. I don't want to see your face anymore. Oh, but God is not like that. Amen. Aren't you glad? Jesus said, anyone who comes to me, I shall in no wise cast out. David understood God's forgiving heart. David wrote, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Aren't you glad that God is that type of God? He will forgive if you're just willing to repent. Don't try to drown your guilt or your sorrows in drugs, alcohol, marijuana, or suicide. It's all a slow way to kill yourself and send your soul to hell. And Jesus' arms are held wide open, and he's saying, come to me. I'd rather have Jesus. So if you know that you are guilty, and if you really feel sorry, you know you've offended God, just as David knew he offended God, why won't you come up to the altar and ask God to forgive you? You know what? Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given. As we sing the last verse, don't be ashamed. Come up to the altar and be cleansed from your sin. It's just like taking a shower or a bath. It's like walking in the sunlight. Oh, it's refreshing. You can be forgiven if you simply ask. Come up to the altar. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let as we ask our dear Sister Harp to close our service with prayer, there's still time. You can ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin and invite Jesus into your heart and start your life walking on the straight and narrow, walking in the newness of life, walking with Jesus, and he will lead you all the way to heaven.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful message that you laid upon Brother Solomon's heart to share with us, Lord. But those words would mean nothing unless we not only hear them, but heed them. Yes. Receive them within our hearts and lives. Confess our sins before you, O Lord, knowing that you only can forgive our sins, our trespasses. So, Father, heal the wounds that are here tonight. Heal the hearts that are sick in sin. And, Father, we pray for any here tonight that are standing on the precious 2 feet that you've given to all of us, that they may realize if they make one step forward for Christ, they are never, ever alone. You promised in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, dismiss us now with thy blessings. Bless the food, but bless the hearts of all that are here tonight, that they may know, Father, that if they accept you, they will never hunger or thirst after the things of righteousness for the kingdom of heaven. Go before us, O God, and we love you, and we ask that you will bless us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Amen.